Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm home healthcare news reporter Joyce Femakinwa. Today, our guest is Jacqueline Samuel, the CEO of Resilient Healthcare. In this conversation, Jacqueline talks about the company's most recent funding round and what it's been able to accomplish with that capital since then. She also talks about being a company that takes on risk and a recent partnership that helps bring care to rural communities. Before we get into that conversation, a word from our sponsor, Care Academy. Care Academy is like the Netflix of healthcare. With more than 500 engaging classes to train, retain, and upskill care staff, Care Academy's unique platform takes your training to the next level, all while saving you time. Easy-to-use mobile classes make learning accessible anytime, anywhere, with support for multiple languages. Level up with specialized certifications in areas from dementia to mental health. Simple compliance reporting makes your audits a breeze. Achieve cost containment using text messages and interoperability with multiple ecosystem platforms. Visit careacademy.com to start a free trial today. We are joined today by Resilient Healthcare CEO Jacqueline Samuel. Jacqueline, where are you joining us from today?
I am in Frisco, Texas.
Awesome. So let's get started. For the listeners who aren't familiar with Resilient Healthcare, can you begin by providing backgrounds on your company and how it came to be?
Yes. Yeah, so I am a physical therapist by trade, and I worked in the home health industry. And my father had a stroke in New Jersey, and I had moved to Texas. And so I was traveling back and forth and realized there was a gap in care for patients who were in and out of the hospital. And so we really started Resilient to focus on those high acuity patients or chronic care patients who spend so much time in the hospital for so many years at the end of life. And during the pandemic, we really shifted to more providing hospital or acute level care at home, and then shifted again to more of a technology company to enable hospitals to be able to spread their reach into the community.
Thank you for giving that background. So in May, we spoke because your company announced that it had raised $10 million in funding. A lot of that was from angel investors and employees. Firstly, how did you manage to get that level of support from non-traditional investors?
Well, it was a grind. We really started raising money over, I want to say, a year and a half ago, and telling our story and our mission of wanting to reduce rehospitalizations, improve access to care, make care more convenient for patients. It resonated with a lot of people. And so our employees stepped up. A lot of our senior leadership ended up investing into the company. And then we just grew from there.
Over the past couple of years, your company has transformed its business model. How has that business model transformation gone, and what was its purpose?
So when we started, we were providers. We were treating patients at home. We had physicians. We were a physician-driven model. And we really saw that if we wanted to scale and provide this kind of care to patients in a lot more areas faster, we were going to have to shift how we were delivering care. And so we created a software that we used so that we can actually manage high acuity or acute care patients in the home, and then shifted to, why would we recreate the wheel when hospitals exist and home health agencies exist? And really, we just want to enable them to be able to treat these kinds of patients at home. And so we shifted, rightfully so, to more of a technology-facing company. And our software is generally available, and we've integrated with hospital EMRs, and we've contracted with hospitals so that now they can treat patients. We're a little bit unique in the way that we're structured because we do have a strong provider clinical background, but we are a technology company.
And getting back to, that topic of funding, What have you been able to accomplish with that capital since that latest funding round?
It's been a pretty exciting year for us. We brought on a COO. We brought on a chief business officer. Our software has gotten a lot more advanced, and now we're utilizing it. So we have a lot more users on the software. And then we were able to create a joint venture with Community Hospital Corp that we're very excited about. And so funding drove a lot of that.
So let's talk a little bit about your most recent partnership. Resilient partnered with Community Hospital Consulting, which is a community hospital corporation organization. And this was for a joint venture partnership. The joint venture expands their health at home program across more than 40 states. Can you talk about how you're helping them to do this and just provide a general update on that partnership?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we drive more care to the communities and patients' homes, we're driving that care by dispatching clinicians to their homes, but we're also providing it virtually. And as we started building out this model, we realized we have essentially are fixing an access to care issue that a lot of rural communities are facing. And so last year, we announced a rural health initiative. We ended up contracting with Midcoast, and that was our first rural hospital system that we worked with. And from there, we've joint ventured with Community Hospital Corp, who, as most know, have a good reach, over 40 states, lots of hospitals that they work with. And so we provide the know-how, we provide the management, the operations, and of course the software for these hospitals to launch, whether it be acute care models, acute care at home models, or transitional care programs, or outpatient at home programs, both virtually and dispatching clinicians to their home. So we're providing, working with CHC to be able to launch these models or these programs for their hospitals. And it's pretty exciting because I think the rural market tends to be overlooked in healthcare. There's so many medical deserts, so to say, where the closest hospital is an hour away. And for us to be able to reach those patients in that community where they are is pretty exciting.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you know, reaching rural communities is a big part of this partnership and a big part of some of the other work that Resilient has done in the past. Can you talk a little bit more about the access to care issues and challenges that people who are seeking care in these communities often face?
Yeah. Yesterday, our VP of Ops and I, we drove down to visit with one of our hospitals down in El Campo, and it was a 5-hour drive. But when we drove back, it was interesting. We took more of the side roads through Texas, lots of rural communities, in which case we're like, what is the closest hospital to here? What is the closest, if someone has they have an infection and they need antibiotics daily and it's an IV antibiotic, how do they get that if we can't deliver it to them in their homes? And so that is what we've seen with a lot of these patients in these areas. If they need a daily infusion for whatever it is that they're going through, they're having to go to a hospital and be admitted for that long because there's no other resources in that area. Or they're having to drive, you know, an hour plus to get this. And so compliance with their plan of care is harder for them. So we address that by delivering care to them in their homes. And then we get a lot better patient satisfaction, a lot better compliance with medication adherence and all of that. So.
And at Resilient, you know, what would you say is the ideal partnership right now? You know, what makes a company attractive to work with?
So we have two buckets that we look at partners. One is our clients. We're very focused right now and for next year on hospital partnerships, whether it's a health system of hospitals or individual hospitals. We are not specific to rural versus urban. There's benefits to both. And so for sure on the client side, we're more focused on hospital partnerships. rather than payer organizations. On the flip side, we partner with home health agencies, staffing companies, pharmacy deliveries, DME companies, you name it, because we're recreating hospitals in their home. And so for us to deliver this care, we leverage and we partner with companies that are already in that mobile health space. And so we have two separate ways that we look at partnerships in that way.
And how is Resilience set up for the shift towards value and risk-based care moving forward? Talk a little bit about that.
We love the value-based movement. We are not very risk-averse, and so we actually include a risk component in most of our contracts with hospitals. That being said, as we scale and as we get more data and as we get more information on what is the best approach to treating some of these patients in this new environment, in this new digital age, we can be a lot more precise with where we're willing to take risk and what kind of risk is appropriate. There are, and I know we've talked about it before, but metrics like rehospitalization or cost of care, and those are the big things that people look at. Are we being more precise with how we spend healthcare dollars? Are the patients getting what they need? Are patients able to get more treatment digitally or virtually that really drives a positive impact on their outcomes while we reduce the cost of that care? So we will get a lot more specific as we see more of this deliverable and as it scales in different regions of the country. But for now, we do look at rehospitalization and overall cost of care and patient outcomes and that kind of a thing.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you've also talked about how, you know, in addition to rehospitalization and overall cost of care, some of the other benchmarks that you look at are medication and adherence and physical and mental health scores and behavior, different things like that when you decide to contract on risk. So one question I have for you is, do you have any metrics to share around the success you've seen in these areas or any kind of stories you want to share that kind of illustrate, you know, the success you're seeing here?
It's almost common sense that when you start delivering care to patients in their homes and higher acuity care as well, and it's their environment, it's their comfort zone, and you're bringing care to them, you see higher engagement, you see better compliance with their medications, you see better physical and mental health scores because they are home, they're surrounded by their people, and they are excited to get better. And so with that, we've seen a reduction in rehospitalizations. And you can probably see that with traditional home health as well as this high acuity hospital at home model. Overall cost of care, that will be interesting as we continue to get more information in this space. Yes, we know delivering care to patients' homes is less costly than the traditional brick and mortar. But as the world shifts to this digital age or this dispatching of clinicians in the community, there will be different kinds of costs to consider. And I think it would be too early for us to say that cost of care for every single diagnosis will go down. But patient outcomes, efficacies, efficiencies, that'll all be there.
I want to talk a little bit about the home health side of your business. What opportunities are you seeing in that space?
We partner with home health agencies so that we can train their staff and then load their staff into our software and then match staff with the hospital programs that we launch. And so lots of opportunities for us to work with home health agencies. It will be interesting to see how the traditional home health agency business shifts as more hospitals enter a hospital at home type of model.
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, the fact that we're seeing more home traditional home health, you know, have access to higher acuity patients or, you know, start restructuring their care delivery models to accommodate these kinds of patients? Do you think that will kind of factor in on any of that?
I think over the last 5 years, home health agencies have been tasked with taking care of sicker and sicker patients without really the reimbursement to cover what is expected of them and without the hospital support in that sense. And so as we expect home health agencies and home-based providers to take care of sicker patients, we have to be able to enable them to do so properly. And so, yes, I see the shift of sicker patients will be able to access care from their homes. Providers providing that care will have to be able to adjust to a home environment versus a hospital environment. Will it be better outcome overall? For some patients, yes. It would be unfair for me to say every single patient. That's not true. Some patients do need the brick and mortar. And so I think that that entire business will start. It already started shifting, especially with technology and what's available today versus what was available pre-pandemic.
On the other end, you know, what challenges are you seeing and how are you navigating those challenges?
We are in growth mode right now, and so our challenge is scaling fast enough. But I think that in the entire industry, you will start to see more challenges that technology will play a big role in solving around the logistics of delivering care, the acuity of each patient, emergency response times, that kind of a thing.
You know, speaking on that topic, does anything come to mind in terms of like an example of a way that you're seeing that done really well, you know, using technology in this way really well that you'd like to share?
I mean, it goes everything from being able to e-prescribe medication that's delivered to a patient's door to monitoring patients' vitals remotely and seeing trends on their vitals and being able to intervene before there's an actual cardiac event. And I think you're seeing both of that in the field today and will continue to do so.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about home health just now, but are there any other home-based care delivery models that Resilient has their eye on and are making move towards?
Not necessarily specific models. I think right now healthcare is getting driven to patients' homes. We are more of a care anywhere centric platform. And so delivering care in the community, there's been a lot of movement, I would say, for the homelessness population. And I think that is something we've had our eye on because they don't have homes, but they still need access to care.
For sure. I want to end by asking, as CEO, what goals do you have for the company as we move closer to the end of the year? What needs to be accomplished before 2023 wraps up for good?
This year, our goal was to create a runway of hospitals or a pipeline of hospitals for us to launch for 2024, which we've done a good job of doing so, building out the software and integrating. And so we have a few integration projects we'd like to close up by the end of the year. And then getting a handful of those new hospitals live before the New Year's will be another target for us. And then, of course, we're raising our Series A now, and so getting our institutional round closed before the end of the year.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that you are in growth mode. Do you see any kind of barriers to growth from your vantage point right now?
Not necessarily. I mean, we are committing to launching a good amount of hospitals next year, and so not necessarily.
Well, Jacqueline, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Disrupt.
Thank you, Joyce. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com.